Welcome our first tandem storytellers, identical twins, Sherry and Katie O'Connor.
Man, I love this song.
Hi, I'm Katie, and this is my twin sister, Sherry. We're from Dillingham, Alaska, born and raised. Oh, okay.
Represent.
Damn. We graduated high school in 2017, and then we moved to Anchorage to go to college. I had no idea what I was going to study. I knew two things. I wasn't going to take care of sick people, and I wasn't going to take care of small people. So, not going to be a teacher and not going to be in healthcare. I graduated last year with my natural science degree, and I picked up a pretty cool job with an environmental engineering and consulting firm. And I travel all around the state and do sciencey things like collect soil and water samples and sometimes, unfortunately, sit at a desk. One of the cool things about being a twin is that you get to spend your like entire life with somebody else, and we've been through a lot of stuff in our short lives together. One way we cope with anything really is through humor. I have a really great memory. It wasn't great because we were at a funeral, but it was funny because we were in the bathroom of the funeral and we were both like kind of losing it. We had these like temporary tattoos, and just for a minute it was kind of funny. But more about me. I graduated nursing school here in Anchorage last December, and by February I had landed a job at Providence in the float pool in the residency program. Yeah, that's right, let's hear it. And by April, just a few short weeks later, I had been delivered into Providence's emergency room on a literal bed of ice. The day of my accident, I went hiking with a few of my friends, and at the top of the mountain, we had decided to slide down the mountain on our butts, which, once I tell this story, everybody's like, that's glissading, shut up, I don't care. And the last thing I remember seeing before I shut my eyes forever, it felt like, was my fiance at the time. He like looked over and he smiled at me, and then we went down this mountain. And my eyes were shut pretty much the whole time, save for like the one or two times I opened them to see a tree coming at me, and I shut them again, hoping that that first tree would stop my fall, and it didn't. And then I saw another tree, and I hoped that one would stop my fall, and it didn't, until I lost count. At the bottom of the mountain, I had slid almost 1,000 feet or more. I opened my eyes and I went through the checklist of, okay, my engagement ring's on my finger, my teeth are in my head, and I can wiggle my fingers and my toes. Everything accounted for. But my back really hurt and it was hard to breathe. I'd landed at an angle and I knew that if I laid back, which is what I really wanted to do, I would keep falling. So in my adrenaline-fueled state, I kind of crab walked my way down to a tree. I wrapped my legs around it, I laid back and I cried for help. I could hear my friend Travis, who had fell with me. He thought he had punctured his eye below me, and he goes, Sherry, I'm scared. The next 3 hours were a blur, kind of due to the fact that when you're in that much shock, you lose the ability to see like I did, and partially due to the fact that when they found me, they gave me some fentanyl to help with the pain. It was a really great big production with members of the Anchorage Fire Department, Forestry, the State Troopers, and the National Guard working on a way to get me out of there, which was kind of embarrassing. But when they found me, they kind of, after the fentanyl, they slid me onto this backboard, and based on my location, they couldn't drag me out of there, and they couldn't land a helicopter to lift me out of there. So I remember this National Guardsman, he rappelled out of the helicopter. He tied onto my backboard and we went up together. And I can still remember the feeling of that backboard spinning in midair on my way up. I, on the same day, was at a very small child's birthday party. I was not hiking. I was watching the birthday boy scream in this ball pit. He was having a good time. I had a funny feeling something was going on. And then I got the phone call. Zach had called me, Sherry's former fiance had called me and said, hey, you know, there was an accident. Everyone's okay. And when people say that, they lie. They lie. I know. But he did say help was on the way. So I kind of had a mix of emotions, and I could hear Sherry in the background moaning, tell her I fell. And she didn't sound very good. And, you know, Zach sounded calm, and Sherry sounded in pain. So my first thought was, oh, my God, she's paralyzed. You know, she'd been a nurse for a month, and she'd worked so hard and for so long to get there. And I was like, she broke her back, or she broke her neck, or she's going to have a pretty bad brain injury. I don't think I've ever been that scared. And so I'm at this birthday party. I'm wearing a very tiny party hat, and I'm in the bathroom crying. And about 10 minutes after the first phone call, I'm in the bathroom, and I was like, oh, my God, what do? And so I take a picture of myself crying, send it to Sherry. I know she's not going to see it. She's busy. And I say, if you're paralyzed, I'm going to let my dog use you as a racetrack. And, you know, it was I waited the next 3 hours at Providence in the ER with my aunt, my uncle, and my boyfriend. And Sherry's being flown in on a Black Hawk. And my aunt kindly reminded me that the last time someone in our family was delivered that way to the hospital, they didn't live.
She's over there in shame right now. She's Yay. In the audience today.
And so that didn't make me feel that much better, but I held it together. I figured she would be okay. And it was another 3 hours after she arrived that I was able to see her. And I walked in, and she was tethered to more machines than I thought possible. She had a tube sticking out of her chest, and she was in a neck brace, and she looked like she was drugged through hell, but she was alive, and she was breathing. You know, in sibling fashion, I say, hey, Zach, how about you get behind her? And we take a silly picture. And so it's the first picture I show people when I talk about her accident, and it's her laying on the bed, and Zach is behind her, just putting up bunny ears.
So here we are, caught up in the Providence emergency room, and the story slowly started to unfold about how badly I was injured. I'd lacerated down my leg, I'd lacerated my spleen and my liver, and I was bleeding internally. I'd collapsed part of my lung, I'd fractured a rib, several vertebrae in my lower back, and as we learned 2 days later, my left shoulder. I was black and blue, I was kind of hard to look at, but by some miracle, I was sitting there alive. It took me 5 days to talk my way out of Providence, and in those 5 days, I did all kinds of therapy. I carried around this box that drained blood and air from around my lungs so it could re-expand, and I visited with a lot of friends and family. I don't know if anybody here today has ever like sat in a room and people come in and then they make eye contact with you and start crying, but it kind of sucks. Throughout that whole thing, Katie was there fielding phone calls, helping me with my bath wipes and making sure I always had a bag to puke in. It's safe to say that I'm very thankful for her support, and I'm very thankful for her continued support throughout my recovery. Wait, it gets better. And I know that there are people here today that took care of me during those 5 days at Providence and probably helped with my rescue. And if you're sitting here today and I haven't had a chance to say it in person, thank you, because what you did really mattered for me. Yeah.
Yeah, before all of that, I didn't really have any experience in the ER, except freshman year of college, I did stay because I repeatedly bounced my head off of the concrete one night. So it came in as a big surprise when the roles were kind of reversed. You know, Sherry seemed like she always wanted to be a nurse, knew what she was going to do. I was always the patient through EMT classes and nursing school, clinic, everything. I drew the line at her buying needles off of Amazon to practice phlebotomy. That was a no. I got a crash course in bedside nursing. I learned about the Cuda canoes and the paper panties and the... You can be bruised so badly that you might need a blood transfusion. I even got the pleasure in aiding in the removal of her chest tube. So the doctor comes in and... I think the day before she's going to be discharged or the day of getting discharged or whatever. And she comes in, she's like, hey, when I remove the tube, can you put the gauze over her incision so it doesn't fill back up with air and her lung collapses again? I said, yeah, I got that.
Trauma surgeons.
So I had thought a chest tube wasn't that long. So I'm standing there and I'm waiting and she starts pulling
and it keeps coming, and then the smell, and I don't really remember anything after that. It never recollapsed, it was fine. October marks 6 months since my accident, and in that time I've had a lot of time to think about my own recovery and how I impact other people's recovery when I go to work. I don't think about my accident every day like I used to, but if I am in that room at Providence, you know, those ones that overlook that helipad, I remember what it was like to lay in that bed and to be sick and to be scared and to be taken care of.
That day could have gone a lot different, and there's a real possibility I could have lost my best friend, and the world could have missed out on a really great nurse.